Thank you so much for coming, those of you who are here. I really appreciate it. I know it's hard to get out in the middle of the day for something like this. I'm Lisa Braithwaite. I'm a public speaking coach and trainer. Most of you know me already. If you don't, what I do is I mentor entrepreneurs and professionals to create more engaging and memorable presentations so that they can build their businesses through speaking. And there is nothing that I love more than helping people fall in love with speaking and using their unique and special gifts to transform their audience's lives. I said there's nothing I love more than speaking, but I mean maybe sleeping, because I really, really love sleep. But, you know, other than sleep, I really love helping my clients develop their best self on stage. And before I had my own business, some of you might know that I had a long career in the nonprofit sector doing a lot of what I do now. So I was teaching, training, coaching, speaking, facilitating groups. I was getting paid to do that as a job. And I was sharing their message, and I was working toward changing attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors, which really is what I'm still doing. I mean, that part hasn't changed much. It's really at the core of what I've always wanted to do in the world. And when I started out as a speaker and a trainer, my job was actually the children's program coordinator for a domestic violence shelter here in Santa Barbara. And so some of you may know it now as Domestic Violence Solutions. It used to be called Shelter Services for Women back when I worked there. And I had this picture in my mind of what this job was going to look like. You know, all these sweet little kids. I was going to do arts and crafts. I was going to, you know, help them deal with the issues that they were facing coming from a home where there may have been abuse. But the reality of this job was that it turned out a good part of what I was expected to do was to go into high school classrooms and talk about healthy and abusive teen relationships. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever worked with teens, but I like to call this my trial by fire. I had been working with young kids for a few years at that point, but I was terrified of teenagers, because I was like, you know, why would they listen to me? I was not cool. I wasn't talking about something they were interested in learning. You know, I would come into their classroom and take up an hour of their time talking about something that they just were not excited about. And I kind of expected them to be rude and bored and, I don't know, even mean. I kind of thought they might be mean to me. Maybe I was kind of going back to my own junior high and high school years where I was, you know, not one of the cool kids. So, but it was my job. So I picked up the presentation and somebody else had written it and it was one page and I started going to high schools. And I very soon learned that speaking to teenagers is pretty much the best training that any speaker could ever get. And I highly recommend it. If you have an opportunity to speak to teenagers, you will learn a ton. You know, they're not afraid to challenge a speaker with a million questions, for one thing. They will also let you know their emotional state. If they're bored, if they're tired, if they're pissed off, if they're excited, you know, they let you know everything. And of course, in high school, a lot of times you just get that bored response because it's kind of not considered cool to be interested, you know, when you have a guest speaker. But what I started to realize in doing this work was that my mindset made all the difference in how these young people responded to me. And I started seeing how I could learn from them. And I, you know, I realized that if I was approaching them as the adversary, then they would treat me as an adversary, right? I would go in like, oh my God, these kids aren't going to listen to me. And, you know, I would go in with this negative mindset. And if I go in with a negative mindset, that's what I'm going to get back. I'm going to get negative, you know, attitude back. So it was really a fascinating experience for me to learn from this and really start to join forces with my audiences. And this is when, you know, everything started to change for me. When my mindset changed, my audience changed, and my relationship with my audience completely changed. And so this was a part-time part of my other job. And I started to get more and more requests for these presentations from other teachers in the school, or in the schools around town. And I started to realize this really needed to become its own full-time program. It couldn't really be tacked on to this children's program. And so my director actually agreed with me and allowed me to create our teen, what we called at the time, teen dating violence or teen relationship violence program. And it was the first one in our county, and it was one of the first in the country, as a matter of fact. We're talking 1995, 20 years ago. So it's pretty cool that they still have the program. And my mindset work that I started doing 20 years ago has become a huge part of my speaking and training and coaching business. And that's not to say that I don't continue to work on my skills and my content, because obviously I do. But the way I view my audience, the way I view my own abilities and my contribution to an audience is what I would consider the secret sauce to my success as a speaker, trainer, and coach, and what's allowed me to be in business for 10 years now. And it's also one of the main issues I work on with my clients. I mean, all of the eye contact and perfect gestures and masterful content in the world won't help you if you have a negative mindset. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. So I want you to think about, you know, how this fits with you. This webinar is going to be a good fit for you if you find your mind kind of swirling with all the things that could go wrong when you get into your presentation. This webinar is for you if you ever fear that you're going to be unable to keep the audience's attention, if you're going to bore them, you know, with your content or with your delivery. This webinar is for you if you lack confidence in your ability to get your message across effectively and actually get people to take action on what you're talking about. And this webinar is for you if you are one of those people who thinks that you look really nervous on stage and everybody can see it, and that makes you more nervous and more anxious. I do have a lot of people who get sort of bogged down, you know, in those, like, it's a vicious circle. I'm afraid I'm nervous. I'm afraid I look nervous, and I'm afraid they can see that I'm nervous, and that just makes me more nervous. So if one of these, you know, fits with you, any of these resonate with you, then you are probably in the right place. A couple things we're going to talk about today. What is mindset? What is your mindset? How is your mindset affecting you as a speaker, and how effective you are reaching your audience? We're going to talk about some of the really powerful mindset approaches that successful speakers are using. And we're going to talk about how you can change your mindset so that you can actually, you know, take the stage with confidence and with joy and with excitement and with gratitude and, you know, all of these positive ways of looking at ourselves and our audience and public speaking in general. And excuse me. I know we have a limited time today, and this is a really big topic, as you can probably imagine. I mean, changing your mindset is not something that happens in an hour. And actually, I just want to let you know, we may go a little over an hour. So if you do have questions and you need to leave before we're done, do put them in the Q&A box, and I will make sure to get to them before we're done. But if you can stay past an hour and I go a little past an hour, that would be great. And of course, you know, there's going to be the recording as well. So I know that I said there were only going to be 5 mindset secrets, but I decided to bring you 6 today because, as I said, there was so much more that I wanted to share. And if you stick around to the end, I'm also going to let you know how you can learn more about this and get more support for your own mindset issues. But you're going to make a lot of progress today. You're going to learn a lot today. And there's so much to know, but you'll get a lot out of today's presentation. So today I want to start with one of my favorite quotes. Some of you might have heard this one before, and this is just one translation of it. I mean, Epictetus was a Greek philosopher, and so there are various translations of this. People aren't afraid of things, but of how they view them. Another way to say this is it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. Have you heard that before? Because this is really at the core, and you know, at the very core of mindset. It's really how we respond to the things that happen to us, not the things themselves. Your mindset includes all of the ideas and the attitudes with which you approach a situation. Your mindset is your beliefs, it's your thoughts, and when we're talking about speaking, we're going to be specifically focusing on the negative thoughts and the limiting beliefs that are keeping you from sharing your message and sharing that transformation that your audiences want and need from you. So, for example, these kinds of mindset, the kinds of things that you might say to yourself, oh, if I do this, this is going to happen. Right? In a negative way. If I do this thing, this other bad thing is going to happen. If I do this thing, people are going to think this bad thing about me. Or even the mindset traps that we get ourselves into where we say, well, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. I should do this, I shouldn't do that. These are all examples of mindset, especially when we feel like these particular thoughts or beliefs are hard to change. And this is really common, right? It's hard to change our thoughts and our beliefs without some effort. And as Epictetus has pointed out so long ago, the reality is going to be the same no matter what we think about it. The thing is going to happen. We have no control over the situation, only how we perceive the situation. Now, a lot of times our negative thoughts are there to protect us. But in reality, those negative thoughts can also limit us. Excuse me a second, because I realize I have earrings on and I want to take them off because I think they're making noise. Okay, better. Now, I've written before in my blog about the power of the mind, and I've talked about the fact that many of our fears, excuse me, as well as our negative thoughts and beliefs about public speaking, but also about other things, are only vaguely based in reality, if at all. A lot of people who have negative thoughts and beliefs about public speaking have never even had a bad experience public speaking. It's something they've created in their mind. So allow me to quote myself. I'm just gonna, you know, be super, act like I'm super famous right here, and I'm going to quote my own self. If our mind is powerful enough to create fear from nothing, it's also powerful enough to reframe our thoughts to propel us forward in a positive way. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how do we get from those negative mindset pieces that are holding us back, and how do we move forward in a positive way using our mind, right? This is using nothing but our mind, because as I said, we're not going to change the situations around us. We're going to use our mind to determine how we perceive those situations. Okay, so let's talk about these mindset secrets of successful speakers. The first one, successful speakers bounce back when they make a mistake. Think about that for a sec, and I'm going to check. I'm just going to make sure if there are any questions coming that I'm grabbing them. Okay, so no questions yet. Good, good, good. Okay, successful speakers bounce back when they make a mistake. Successful speakers don't dwell on things that happen. They're resilient. And, you know, we all have bad days. Right? We all have bad days in all aspects of our lives. And we all have presentations that don't go the way we want. But a lot of people let that fear that they're going, that something's going to happen, something negative is going to happen, they let that hold them back. And then when something does happen, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Well, I knew something bad was going to happen and it did. So I'm not going to go and do any more public speaking. So let's talk about what our action plan is going to be. If this feels like you, you know, you're somebody that has a hard time bouncing back and you don't feel like you're as resilient as you could be, here's your action step for number one. You're going to cultivate resilience. Now, how do you cultivate resilience? Well, there are a lot of ways. I'm going to give you one way, and that is to think about all your worst fears, you know, all the things that could go on, all the bad things that could happen in a presentation, and I want you to write that all down. And you know, make a note of this for later, but think of all the bad things that could happen in a presentation and write them down. Now, next to that list, so you can make two columns on the left-hand side, all the things that could go wrong. I could lose my place, I could get tongue-tied, blah, blah, blah. On the right-hand side, you're going to write down what would actually happen if those fears came true. And in reality, you start to see how it's actually not that big of a deal. If I lose my place, oh, I guess I'll look at my notes and find out where I was, right? If I get tongue-tied, I will make a joke, laugh it off, and keep going. You know, when you really look at if this happened, if, you know, this occurred in my presentation, how would I handle it? You have everything you need to handle it. When something doesn't go the way you want or expect it to go in your presentation, just acknowledge it, feel it, make a note of what you might change next time, and then move on. And, you know, yes, ask yourself what you can learn from the situation and then be done. So we want, you know, in order to be more resilient, we have to be okay first with making mistakes. We have to manage our expectations. I mean, part of the problem people have with public speaking is their expectation. They expect that once they start doing it and get experienced, they won't be nervous anymore, you know? And then when the nervousness doesn't go away, they think something's wrong with them. Or, you know, they think if I practice enough, I won't make any mistakes and nothing will go wrong. And then something goes wrong and they think, this sucks, I don't want to do this anymore, right? So you have to manage your expectations and be realistic about what you can expect in a presentation, but then also understand how you're going to deal with those things if they happen. Okay? If you can move past the expectations that you have and just be in the moment and let the things happen that are going to happen, then you can really focus on being effective with your audience. So that is that was our successful speaker mindset number one and your action step to deal with that. Successful speakers say get to instead of have to, and this is our second mindset secret. Successful speakers say get to instead of have to. And, you know, I want you to recognize that every speaking gig is an opportunity to grow. Successful speakers look at every speaking engagement as an opportunity. Successful speakers are thankful and grateful for their audiences and for every speaking opportunity. So what is your action step if you are still in that place of saying, I have to give this presentation, I have to do this thing? Your action step is going to be to focus on the benefits and the possibilities. Okay? Think about all of the benefits and the possibilities from your next speaking engagement. And just a couple of opportunities that I can think of are that every presentation is an opportunity for you to practice your skills. Every presentation is an opportunity for you to understand audience dynamics better. Every presentation is an opportunity for you to try new stories, experience different kinds of venues, get used to different time frames, you know, a 5-minute versus a 10-minute versus a 30-minute versus an hour. Every presentation is an opportunity to grow your strengths, face your personal challenges, learn about yourself as a person. One thing that happens when you get on stage, you sure start to learn about yourself as a person. And I will tell you that from my many years of experience. I have this great quote from Anne Hathaway when she hosted the Oscars a few years back. She said, I wasn't going to let nerves get in my way. I'm just going to let every moment be about. Granted, most of us are not going to get the opportunity to stand in front of millions of people and promote ourselves and our businesses like Anne Hathaway got to do. But it's, you know, it's a privilege every time you get to speak in front of an audience. It's a privilege to give value to your audience, to connect with people and build relationships, to help people move forward and take action, to express your own ideas, to change minds, to make an impact. These are just a few of, I mean, I could go on all day about the opportunities and the benefits and the possibilities of taking the stage. So this is your action step. Think about, you know, if you have a speaking engagement coming, think about what are the possibilities, what are the benefits, what are the opportunities that you can focus on. And this will get you out of the mindset of saying, you know, I have to do this presentation. You will start turning it around into, I get to do this because of all the great opportunities you're going to have. Oh dear, my cat is chewing on something she shouldn't be chewing on. Typical that she decides to do that in the middle of my presentation. Hopefully I don't have to go intervene. Okay, mindset secret number 3. Successful speakers let go of the need for perfection. This is another quote. Yes, I'm going to quote myself one more time. I have 2 whole quotes in the world, and I'm giving both of them to you on this presentation. My other quote is, perfection is the enemy of authenticity. When you focus on making everything perfect, when you focus on, you know, getting ready to be ready, have you heard that before? I'm getting ready to be ready to be ready, and you're never really ready because you're trying to be perfect, and you don't want to do anything. Until what your actions, people, where perfection is so important to you that you can't let yourself be in the moment and go with the flow and connect with the audience, here's your action step. You're going to focus on your strengths. And if you don't know what your strengths are, and I would not be surprised if there were people on this call who don't know what your strengths are. I just had a conversation with a client the other day who, when I saw him on stage, I saw this very personable, friendly, warm, funny, interesting, you know, well-organized, well-prepared guy. And when I told him that, he was shocked. You know, I said, do you know this about yourself? And he said, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so. He really was uncomfortable even acknowledging what his strengths are and what he's good at. So if you don't know your strengths, I'm going to suggest that you do the Strengths Finder assessment. And you can find it online, search Strengths Finder. It takes you to a website. The Gallup organization runs this. And there's a book called Strengths Finder 2.0. There's a book that goes with it. So you can do the Strengths Finder assessment, and then you can read the book to understand what the results mean. So focus on your strengths. Learn what your strengths are. Focus on them. Something you can do is you can ask people. I did an exercise recently for a program that I was in where I had to ask people what they saw in me. What did they see as my strengths? Kind of out in the public, you know? And it was really interesting, and it kind of challenged some of the beliefs that I have about myself as a person to see how other people saw me and saw my strengths. It was really interesting. So I want you to think about, and, you know, just to interject a little bit here, interrupt myself. A lot of us think of speaking or some of the other things in our world, we think of these things as either a talent or a skill, meaning it's already a talent, it's a natural ability or an aptitude that you have to do something. Whereas a skill is an ability that comes from your knowledge, your practice, and that you get better at something by practicing it, right? And some people think public speaking is a talent and that if you're not born with it, you're never going to be good at it. And then you compare yourself to other people who you think have natural talent, and you see yourself as deficient in some way. And if you think of it as a skill and you recognize that everybody has to put in time and effort to improve, then you see how you can get better at speaking. And yes, there are some people who have natural talent. That's true. But every great speaker, every great athlete, every great performer, every great scientist, you know, every great everything has had to put in time and effort and work to get better, even at their natural talents. Okay. So I want you to think about that too. I want you to focus on your strengths, but it doesn't matter if you have natural talent or not. If you want to develop a skill, you can practice it. And with speaking, that includes taking every opportunity if you're willing to do that. We are on mindset secret number 4, and that is successful speakers believe that they can grow and improve. So this is a little bit of an extension on the last one where we were talking about, you know, talent versus skill and really looking at your strengths. Some people actually don't believe they can grow and improve. But if we're good at what we do, we can always get better. If we're not great at something, we can always work harder if we want to, if it's important to us. I am not going to tell you if you're terrible at something. You know, if you don't want to work on it, don't work on it. I mean, I discovered, some of you have heard me say this before, but I discovered, or, you know, realized because I'm 50, it's not like this was a new thing. But, you know, last year it finally hit me. I'm never going to be good at making pancakes. I'm just terrible at making pancakes. I know all the things you're supposed to do. I know how to do it, but they still don't come out right. You know what? It's not important to me to get good at making pancakes. So I'm really not, I'm just not going to try. I'm not going to work on it. If I want pancakes, I'll go somewhere else and get them. So, you know, you don't have to be good at everything. Just be good at the things you want to be good at. Focus on what your strengths are. So here's your action step. If you're somebody who has a little trouble believing that you can grow and improve, okay, your action step is going to be to cultivate a growth mindset. And let me tell you what that is. I'm just going to take a quick look. Okay, everything looks good up here on my dashboard. All right. So cultivate a growth mindset. What does that mean? You may have heard of a book by a woman. Her name is Carol Dweck. The book is called Mindset. And she really has started kind of, in fact, you're going to notice this. You'll see these things all over the web, in fact, all over Facebook, about these new ways of working with kids in school based upon these growth mindset ideas. And basically, in a nutshell, Carol Dweck says that most of us operate from one of two basic mindsets. One mindset is fixed. And the person with a fixed mindset says, I am who I am. I can't change. Okay? This person believes that their talents, their abilities, their intelligence is just fixed. So, and this goes both ways. I mean, if you're good at things in your life and you have a fixed mindset, then you actually may think, well, this is great. I don't need to try any harder, or I don't want to try any harder, or I don't want to try anything, any new things, or learn anything new. Maybe you're like, this is fine. I'm okay. You know, I'm okay with it the way it is. And you also might think, well, I don't want to try harder or work harder because, you know, what if I take a risk and it damages my reputation or in some way? So a fixed mindset, if you have a positive view of your abilities, can still be limiting because it doesn't allow you to continue to grow. And of course, a person with a fixed mindset who has negative opinions about their abilities, that is going to also keep them from trying harder or trying something new because they feel like there's no likelihood of any change or improvement. The difference between the fixed mindset and the growth mindset is that if you have a growth mindset, you see the possibilities. You see the possibilities of developing your talent, your skill, your abilities. And if you do struggle in school or you struggle at work, you know that there is a possibility of growth and improvement if you work at it. And if you have a growth mindset and you're already successful and you're already good at things, you know that if you keep working, you'll get better. So this is the difference between the growth mindset and the fixed mindset in a nutshell. And cultivating a growth mindset takes some work, but it can be done. I will send a link to everybody who's on this call, by the way, because I have a link that has a really easy example, some easy examples, first steps of how to cultivate a growth mindset if it doesn't come naturally to you. Okay, this is part of Carol Dweck's work. So I will send that link out when I send out this the recording of this webinar. I'm going to take a little sip of water here. Give me a sec. Okay. Mindset secret number 5. This is a short one. This is, you know, kind of blunt and to the point. But mindset secret number 5, successful speakers get over themselves. Okay. We have to get over ourselves. People do not as much, not paying as much attention to every little detail as we think they are. Okay. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about serving the audience. And the audience is not separate from you. It's not you versus the audience. You and the audience require each other's participation to get the job done. The audience is part of your team with you. They're not adversarial, they're not critical, they're not separate from you. So you work on getting over yourself. Your action step number 5 is simply to make it about the audience. You have to get out of your own head, get out of, you know, the me, you know, kind of mindset, like, am I funny enough? Am I smart enough? Am I going to impress people? Am I going to do okay? Am I going to make a mistake? Blah, blah, blah. That's all about you. What you should really be asking is, am I going to give value? Am I going to help people? Am I going to give them something practical that they can go use right away? So you want to find ways to involve the audience, share the learning, understand that it's in their best interest for things to go well. And that's what they want for themselves and what they want from you. And so when you involve the audience, get them engaged, demonstrate that you care about what they need, want, and care about, and that they're part of your team, you're going to be able to get over your own crap a lot easier. So make it about the audience is action step number 5. And action step number 6, this is our bonus action step. As I said, I was going to give you 5, but I decided to give you 6. Our bonus action, or I'm sorry, not our bonus action step, our bonus mindset secret is that successful speakers are action oriented. Okay. Successful speakers recognize that things don't change if you don't take action to make them change. As Elvis said, one of my favorite songs, a little less conversation, a little more action. And so here's my tip for you for your action step number 6. Stop substituting learning for action and start doing. And you probably know what I mean by this. Stop substituting learning for action. We learn. We love cramming our heads full of stuff. We take webinars like this one. We read books. We read ebooks. We take classes. We do all this kind of stuff. We cram stuff into our heads. But we don't take action on what we're learning. And especially when we complain about stuff all the time, right? Like, you might complain that you're boring and you're not making an impact with your audience. You might be annoyed because you don't know what to do with your hands, or you might stress out because you don't know how to make a slideshow that's actually effective, and you know your slideshows are crap and they're full of bullets or whatever. But ask yourself this question and think back, what's the last action you took to try to improve these things? And I like to compare this with weight and weight loss. You know, we know that wishful thinking doesn't help you lose weight, and it certainly doesn't make you a better speaker. You might make a half-hearted attempt, you know, taking a walk every now and then or having a salad instead of French fries with your dinner, but that's not real progress. because you're not really taking action. And believe me, I am speaking from personal experience as somebody who is carrying around 20 extra pounds, but I can't quite give up my favorite wines. You know, I love my wine. I am in 4 wine clubs. I mean, wine is one of my favorite things. And yeah, I'm not going to lose a bunch of weight if I keep drinking wine. So, you know, I get it. I am not always taking action either. And with speaking, you can keep practicing, but if you practice the same mistakes over and over, you're not improving. If you keep throwing your presentation together days before it's due, you're not improving. If you read a lot of articles and books about public speaking and you think that by osmosis you're going to get better, but you never actually implement what you learn, you're not improving. So, as we know about losing weight, we know that losing weight in a healthy way for the long term takes some discipline, some motivation, some changes to your habits, your eating habits and your exercise habits. And it also involves changing your mindset about your lifestyle and your body. And becoming a better speaker involves the same tools, discipline, motivation, changing your mindset about your habits, your challenges and your strengths, getting honest feedback and implementing what you're going to learn. So taking action is not an easy choice, but it's a critical choice. And it's a major difference between successful speakers and mediocre speakers. And yes, it's a mindset. It's a decision that you make. It's a choice that you make. So I want you to think about, you know, what are you doing? What's your plan? You know, looking at these 6 mindset secrets, what are you planning to do to change your habits, to change the way you think about speaking, and to change your perceptions of yourself and your abilities and your audience? Are you taking the next step? Are you acting on what you're learning? You know, we're getting to the end of the year, and a lot of people are looking at what we're going to do next year in our business and in our life. I don't go so far as to make resolutions. I'm not really into that. But I typically like to choose a theme of the year. And my theme for next year is let go. And that, you know, I'm letting go of things that are not serving me, letting go of things that are not working. I'm just moving on. This is next year is my year to move on from stuff that's not working for me in my life and in my business. So I have a plan, and I've been working on my plan for my business. So what's your plan to build your speaking growth for next year? Do you want to build your business through speaking? Do you want to get more visibility and credibility for your work and for your message? Do you want to be seen as an authority? Do you want to stop avoiding speaking and start enjoying it? And do you have any speaking engagements on your calendar? These are the things I want you to think about. You know, how are you investing in your speaking growth? And how are you planning for how you're going to implement what you learn? Don't wait for opportunities to come to you. You need to make the opportunities. Another mindset secret of successful speakers is they don't sit around and wait for stuff to happen. They do not substitute learning for action. They do not substitute dreaming and fantasizing for action. They do instead of fantasize. So I want to talk to you about how you can move forward, improving your mindset, improving your skills, improving your abilities. We've talked a lot about mindset today, and I've given you some action steps on how you can start working on your own mindset. I want you to think about how your message and your influence can really foster growth and transformation in your audiences and even change their lives. You know that. You know that it's that speaking actually increases the know, like, and trust factor among your potential clients and customers. And it also delivers fans that will help spread your message to those who need to hear it and to those who haven't even met you yet. And you know that speaking is one of the best ways to grow your visibility, your credibility, and your reputation as an expert in your field. So I'm going to check in and see if we have any questions in the Q&A box. We are coming up on the top of the hour, and actually I'm really stoked that I managed to get to the I managed to get here within an hour. Maybe I was talking really fast. I'm not quite sure. It doesn't look like we have any questions in the Q&A box. And so I am going to go ahead. I'm going to pop up my last slide, my last quote that I want to share with you today. This is going back to what we talked about earlier. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. This is from a conversation that Hamlet has with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in the play Hamlet. And that right there is the core of mindset. That is the very basis of our mindset. So you make the choice to see yourself, your abilities, and your audiences as good or bad, and only thinking makes it so. Take care.